for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, I talk about the very first horror movie that made me a fan. It is the 1984-85 Too Scared to Scream. And joining me tonight is one of my dear friends who I absolutely adore. They are awesome, they are hilarious, and they know so much about obscure pop music. I don't even know where to start with this person. Like, I absolutely 100% adore them. Ray, my Ray Ray, is here.
Hi.
You're like, that's too much.
How do I even, like, say anything to that? That's, you're so fucking nice. God.
Okay. You saw that I posted this on my page. And, oh, and for anyone who is still listening after that intro, this is Jello Shots. We're doing Jello Shots tonight, so grab your straight razor and your black leather gloves and settle in for a shot of Jello. This is an American Jello, American Jello style, and you saw this on my page and said, oh my God, I can't believe this is the first horror film you ever watched. I totally want to do this with you. And I said, abso-fucking-lutely, because I don't know anybody else who I would choose to do this with me. So tell me, what was your background with this? Is this like a, is this like a, you know, one that you watched with grandma? Is this, was this a partner one? Like, tell me all about it, Ray.
So I'm pretty sure, and I feel like I needed to verify this with the person, but I have a friend named Jeffrey Lee. Hi, Jeffrey. And he used to do YouTube videos in like the mid 2000s, and he would review his collection. And I feel like this was one of the movies he had. So I know for a lot of things early on in my like delving into more obscure slasher films, mm-hmm. I really like looked at him for inspiration. I feel like he had movies like Girls School Screamers.
And I've never seen. Okay. So there's a, yes. Thank you. Girls School Screamers, Girls Night Out. I've never seen.
Oh my God. Erin.
I know.
Girl. No, but, so he would look at movies like that. And I feel like I remember him holding up this VHS cassette with, you know, the mask and the cracked, you know, mask, and Too Scared to Scream. Like, yeah, it jumps out at you. So I feel like I looked at that, and then, you know, during the days when it was not legally purchasable, we're going to preface that for anybody listening.
Right. That's the thing, is this is not an easy movie to find. This is not, I mean, granted, now
it has its
Blu-ray. Yeah. It's out. But for the longest time, this was a VHS only.
Yeah. For a long, until 2019, I didn't realize it was really that recent, but yeah. And even that, because it's through Scorpion, it's not through like a larger label. It's
okay.
Probably not as available for a lot of people. I don't know that it's still in print, but, yeah, so I'm pretty sure I found it on the internet somewhere and saw it, and I loved it.
Oh yeah, no, I love this Slink, and I have now watched this twice, and he loves it too. So if he was like, it's like an American Jello, and he's the expert. So so when I was 5 years old, I was like looking through the banister, and my parents were watching this movie. And the only thing that I remembered about it was that there was a woman, what I thought was a parrot. Now I find out it's a minor bird, but at the time, domesticated bird in cage. And she was, you know, wearing like a robe, and she went to the closet, and this knife came down, and I was like, that's amazing. Like, in my little 5-year-old girl brain, I was just like, this is so cool. So then the next day, asked my mom. I said, "What was the movie you and Daddy were watching last night?" And she's like, "Oh, it's this terrible movie called The Doorman." Okay. That goes in the back of my
Oh.
brain. Right. That goes in the back of my brain. Years are spent looking for a movie called The Doorman. Had pretty much given up on it. Fast forward to me in my 20s, first apartment, laying on the couch. Maybe it was like a late, like a 10 o'clock, something like that, flipping channels. All of a sudden, I see girl, robe, domesticated bird. And I'm like, oh my God. And I look at the title, it says Too Scared to Scream. And I'm like, okay, I will never forget that. Later on, after doing research, I realized that it has two titles. It has a title called The Doorman, and it has a title, The Too Scared to Scream. So my mom was technically right. But it was also still, when I found it, it was on cable and it was VHS and you couldn't own it. And it wasn't until recently that I realized it was streaming-ish. Like you have to rent it from some stupid streamer that costs money, like MGM or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if give money to physical media people, please buy this movie. And so that was, we decided, I was like, I'm gonna watch this. And Slink was like, oh, this was cool. Like, this is cool. I like this. I like the ending. Like, he kind of guessed some things, and so I was like, yeah, it's really good. I think I want to do it on the show, and then you came along and all the pieces fell together.
It's so wild to me that this, I mean, I can't imagine a stranger movie to start your horror like love
Yes.
with.
Yes. And like all it took literally was that like person, closet, knife, girl, bird, and I was like, that I don't know what that is, but I want to see more, Little did I know that this movie also would feed my need for sleaze, because it is sleazy
It
and
really is. It's a weird
sleazy.
juxtaposition. Like, it's so bizarre because it feels like you said, it's very giallo. It has those kind of elements, but it feels very much like a 70s TV, like
Oh,
police
absolutely. Yes, it
procedural.
does. It feels very much like a TV movie. It feels very, there are certain parts of it that are almost disjointed because it has that TV movie feel. Certain actors, certain appearances and
Just the
things.
way it's shot, it's shot so flatly, like a TV movie. I
Yeah,
don't know.
it reminds me, the way it was shot reminds me a lot of Night School. Because Night School is another fabulously sleazy film, but has this TV movie police procedural look to it. So
Yes.
yes,
I
it
never
has
thought about it.
yes, but has the same kind of look to it. But then it, you know, then it's then all of a sudden we get a, lesbian superintendent trying to seduce a student, and
I know.
it's like, oh yeah. So
Yeah.
this movie, I also love the fact that they put Mike Connors, like they were like, starring Mike Connors, produced by Mike Connors. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, I was like, okay, so he got a production credit too on this.
Saw something, and I don't know if it's true. So for any of our listeners, if you know, don't listen to me. But I saw something that said like it was shot for TV, but like they didn't want it basically.
Oh,
And
okay.
then Mike Connors like independently added some stuff in to get it like a theatrical release. I don't know if that's true.
Oh,
And like
okay.
some of the nudity was like added on. And I mean, it isn't exactly integral to the plot or
Oh,
anything.
God, no. No, the nudity is so shoehorned in. It is,
Yeah.
that's why we say it's sleazy, because it's not, there's no sex in this film. I mean, really,
No.
there's no sex in this film. There's just a lot of like male gazey, I mean, women just dropping,
Dropping
evening
their
gowns.
dresses
Yeah, evening gowns, and it's just
and
buck ass
oiling
naked. Yeah.
up.
It's just, or going to take a sauna, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a really,
That
really,
scene goes on for so, I'm like,
oh
girl,
my God.
Nadine.
Yes, Nadine really does. Yeah, and then, but then we have this pedigree of actors, right? So let's talk about this for a second. We have Ann Archer, Scientologist herself. We have Ann Archer. We have Ian McShane. We have, we have a couple of different sort of, I don't want to say like throwaway actresses, but we've got Victoria Bass and I can't think of the other chick's name. Oh God damn it! Where's the redhead? What is her name? Okay, that Karen Rushmore. That is her name, Karen Rushmore.
Yes, Nadine, yes.
Nadine, who I love. But we
She's my
also
favorite.
have Carrie Nye from
Creepshow.
Creepshow and Hello Again, one of my favorites. And Mayor Vaughn from Jaws. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. So
No, well, and John Hurt is also in the movie
John
as like
Hurt is in it
a random cameo.
as a medical examiner with a fantastic accent. And then Leon Isaac Kennedy from the Penitentiary movies is kind of a partner. I'm not sure because so this movie is kind of a dog's breakfast, right? There's so much in it, and it is very confusing sometimes.
Yeah, there are a lot of people in this movie.
A lot of people in this movie. And this now, is this to your knowledge, is this Ann Archer's like first movie?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not
Okay.
sure.
No, I didn't know either, so I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if this is like her first try, but okay, so I'm assuming you have seen Fatal Attraction, correct?
Yes,
Okay.
I did.
I love the fact that it takes her like five tries to answer the phone. Like when she answers the phone, she's like, "Hello? Hello? Hello?" And I'm like, after the first one and no one says anything, I'm like, well, it's got to be a telemarketer or somebody trying to find money from Aaron. Goodbye, you know.
Yeah, right.
But she does this in Fatal Attraction. It's like, hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay, perfect Ann Archer, by the way. That
know.
was really good.
I'm very proud of my Ann Archer impression.
You know, I'm late to the game on that movie, but I was like, oh my God, she's beautiful.
Oh, I
Like,
love it.
Michael Douglas, what are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That movie is so, it's funny because I watched it as an adult, like with my mom during the pandemic, and hadn't seen it all the way through. I'd seen little bits and pieces of it. I'd never seen it all the way through. And at the end of the movie, I was like, well, that bitch deserved everything he got. Like
Yeah.
he, uh-uh. And I kind of hated the ending, because I was like, okay, so let me get this straight. Guy decides to have an affair, leaves the dog for the weekend. Can we just talk about that for a second? Even though this is not the Fatal Attraction podcast, but leaves the dog for the weekend to go get his dick wet, and then is confused and confounded when the woman gets the wrong idea.
Yeah.
Ugh. And then may or may not have gotten her pregnant. We still don't really know. The jury's
I
out on that. Yeah.
know.
So anyway, this movie is a little bit less confusing. So
Maybe.
a little bit. Okay. So we open on the fabulous Ian McShane applying makeup and writing in a diary, in a red velvet bellman's outfit, which I
I
just love.
love, yeah.
He's fantastic, and I gotta say, I cannot say enough about Ian McShane. I had really kind of got introduced to him back in the, I think it was the 80s or the 90s. He was on this like detective show called Lovejoy, and it was, I don't know if it was on BBC or whatever, but maybe USA Network picked it up at one point. Fact checker Frankie, please check this for me. But some local station had picked it up, and they were like, "Lovejoy, Inspector Lovejoy."
Oh my gosh.
So that's where I first saw Ian McShane, and then he showed up in Deadwood, and he showed up in a lot of other things, and I had seen him, but I was like, "This guy's this guy's amazing. So when I saw him pop up in this, I was like, well, we're in for a treat because he's really, really good.
This is the only thing I know him from,
Oh,
Erin.
really? Okay, no, that's fine.
I'm not very cultured, but that's okay. He's wonderful in this, though. I love him.
He's like, it's like watching a Shakespearean actor, you know?
Literally, because
Literally, because
he's
he's
spouting
quoting
Shakespeare
Shakespeare the
the
whole movie. So yes, we know he's a bellman and he has a penchant for theatrical makeup. That's it, you know. So he goes and does his job, and we see the very lovely, gorgeous model in a fur could not be any more 80s.
Oh my
Like,
God, I know, right.
seriously, like fur, like floor length fur, you know. And she's gorgeous, and the guy in the limo is trying to get some, and she's just like, I am tired and this is not my cup of tea for tonight. I need to go to sleep. And this dress, can we talk about this for a second? This dress is cut up so high that let's just say you need two hairdos to wear it.
And she, I mean, as we later see, is not wearing anything
And she's not
underneath.
wearing anything under the dress. Like
Nothing.
she drops that dress and it's like, whoa, Jesus. Okay, like
Yeah.
you're full on commando at this point. Drops her dress, makes a, you know, funny pun to the mina bird
Oh
that's,
my God,
I know,
I
assaulting a mina.
know.
Yeah.
I love it.
She's great. And she proceeds to put on some disco music and get ready for bed.
I fucking love that music, by the way. Amazing.
This soundtrack is wild. So, do you know, and if you don't, that's totally fine. If this movie was one of those shot early and then shelved type situations.
Yes, it was.
Okay, great, great, great. Yeah. Because I was wondering about that, because I was like, this, even though this has two different release dates of 84, 85, it looks 80, 81.
Yeah,
Like
it looks earlier. It
early.
was shot in, I believe, 82.
Okay, that makes
And
sense.
there's a calendar in the background of one of the scenes, and you can see it says October 1982.
Oh, look
So
at
I think it's the
you.
scene with John Hurt. Girl, I'm a detective.
You're amazing. Oh my God, that is amazing. Okay, so we learned that this high rise has a motley crew, if you will, of very different clientele. Everything from, you know, models to old women who are super thirsty.
Dude, they want their Black Forest cake eaten tonight.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. So one such woman is a Black Forest cake toting hornball who likes Swan Lake, and she is desperate to get it in with Ian McShane, Vincent. And Vincent, thankfully, Vincent's not really in the vagina business. Like he's
No.
definitely not in the vagina business. So he's polite. And obviously he's incredibly well spoken and
No,
very,
mom.
no, mom, you know, if I leave my post, then I leave the post unassigned,
Unprotected.
unprotected, and I couldn't possibly. And she's like,
Oh, no, Vincent.
okay. Yeah, and she's like, oh, Vincent, well, we wouldn't want that. So also, so then we cut back to the model's penthouse, whatever. And who the fuck leaves their door ajar? Okay, let me just talk about this for a second because I live in Florida. It's trash. We all know it's trash. I live in an apartment complex that is also trash. And my apartment is gorgeous, don't get me wrong, but there's all kinds of crazy shit going on outside. So if you think that I am gonna take a shower and not only not lock my front door, but also leave my front door just open,
She's living life on the edge. I mean, and has her music up too? Like she's not gonna hear a thing, and she doesn't.
like, oh no, this is totally fine. This is,
Yeah.
you know, I'm definitely just looking for Mr. Goodbar at this point, right?
Right. Couldn't be me.
Good. So then she opens up the closet and she kind of notices like another pair of shoes that are not supposed to be in there. And then, oh, it's too late. Stab, stab, stab. And then she dies. Next thing you know, we meet Edward. Edward is kind of the opposite of Vincent in the sense that Edward really hates his job. Hates his job, hates the rich, hates the fact that people kind of get away with everything. We'll understand why later. And so he is very distrusting of everyone around him. Whereas Vincent is more endeared, you know, like he kind of puts up with the women throwing themselves at him because he's like, ha ha ha. silly girl. But he also but he's also very polite and very intelligent. And Edward strikes me as someone who, though is intelligent and obviously is, you know, cultured in some way, is not as cultured as Vincent, and it therefore is not as diplomatic as Vincent. Yeah, being able to like just handle basic, you know, situations or what have you. But then we meet my favorite character in this whole movie.
Oh my God.
The maid of Miss okay, what was her name?
Oberman, Cynthia Oberman.
Cynthia Oberman. We meet Cindy. We meet Cindy's maid, Mamie.
Oh my
And
God.
Mamie is a fabulous Black woman. She's amazing and she has
Yeah.
the best lines and she I was like, jeez. I
I
mean,
wanted the movie to follow her. Yes.
I know. I was like, we get Mamie and then she's gone. It's like, oh, come on. Like, we
Yeah.
needed to bring her back. We needed to bring her back. She needs her own
The sequel.
show. Yeah,
The
the
sequel.
sequel. Totally the sequel. So Mamie goes up to clean up for sexy fur coat woman. And okay, the minor bird somehow got out of the cage and hid inside the cabinet. And then she opens the cabinet and it flies out and she's like, damn bird. And I was like, yep, that's my opinion
You
of
jive
the
turkey,
yeah,
yeah.
jive turkey. I know. I was like, why can't we just have a whole movie of Mamie? Really?
She
And
steals that whole scene.
it's
She's
so
amazing.
great. She's fantastic. So she's doing laundry and she opens up the dryer and a la My Bloody Valentine, a body falls out of it. It's Cindy's bloody, nasty ass body. Just go bloop. And it's like, oh my God. So when the cops show up, we meet Mike Connors, aka Alex, and Leon Isaac Kennedy, the Tubbs to his Crockett, and he and they find that the model is also involved in something that never really takes off as a plot point in this. It kind of should, but it doesn't, which is the matchbook that says Playpad, the ultimate fantasy. And it's like, okay, so is that a swingers club where she went? Is
Yeah.
that she's a model by day, a hooker by night?
That's the sense that I got from it, because when she's dying, she presses her answering machine and there's a woman and she's like, Big Ralph's gonna be by at midnight. Have fun, you know,
Right,
like,
right, right.
and then
So
her mom's like, send some headshots back to Boise, Idaho. We want to hang them in the laundromat. Like, it's so ridiculous.
so-and-so at the local dry cleaner would like some headshots so they can hang them. And it's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. So on the answering machine, on Cindy's answering machine, there is a very drunken message left by everyone knows him as Mayor Vaughn from Jaws, Murray Hamilton. And he's this is red herring number one. Because one of the things with Giallo films and especially with this film is that there are a lot of red herrings in this movie.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we meet our first red herring, clearly lost on his way to an AA meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mayor Vaughn has really fallen on hard times. He's just kind of sitting in like a diner. And I love this because they have a full 2 minutes of dialogue about him being drunk, him not being able to support Cynthia, this back and forth, and then all of a sudden, without missing a beat, Alex just goes, "Cynthia's dead, Jack." Like just
Yeah.
and then Murray Hamilton proceeds to just weep openly for like the next minute, and he's just like, "All right, good to see you."
Pretty much. Well, you like they kind of imply that he was a cop at one time and was giving Cynthia drugs and whatever else he could and was let go because of that. And then she left him once he couldn't give her what she needs, because he says something like, "What's a man if he can't give a woman what she needs?" Well, honey, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's yeah, some people really do need to have that breadwinner situation where like the man makes the most money or the man gives the most presents or the man whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like that hopefully is not true in today's world. Like I still feel there's a lot of gold diggers out there
Oh, definitely.
that are very much, the sugar baby, sugar daddy situation, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a Pisces, but I'm so not that breed, So I'm very
Yeah.
much like, no,
You're
man.
independent.
Seriously, give me attention, pet my head, fuck me, feed me. Done.
Yeah.
Very easy. Like a house plant, really. So we find out that Vincent lives in an absolutely gorgeous house with his mother, in what I think is upstate New York. Actually, it's Brooklyn. It's Brooklyn. I looked up the address, so, and I'm not sure, dude,
Oh,
geography,
okay.
if Brooklyn's up New York, I don't know what is. I think Scarsdale is upstate New York.
Yeah, Brooklyn's definitely not. Brooklyn's in the city.
Okay, Brooklyn's in the city. Okay,
Being
so
friends with Violet has helped me so much,
I'm sure you know this now. Yes, so
okay?
the house that Vincent lives in is absolutely gorgeous, and he lives with his crazy mute mother.
Mute and wheelchair bound mother,
Wheelchair
yes.
bound mother, because of an unfortunate accident, which we will learn about later, and it is her birthday. And Alex drops by to interview Vincent. And once again, Alex dropping knowledge at the last possible minute. Vincent says, "Is Cindy in trouble or is Cynthia in trouble?" And she goes, "No, she's not in any trouble. She's dead."
That is like
It's just dropping these like bombs and then being like, "Gots to go."
calling card. Gotta go.
Ian McShane slash Vincent's whole character is very Norman Bates if Bates spoke in Shakespearean prose only.
Definitely. You feel it the most in that scene
In
too.
that scene, absolutely, because he's like feeding her cake
And
and
he's cutting the cake with a
a
giant butcher
giant
knife.
butcher knife, and that's kind of where there's this kind of homophobia there with Alex, where Alex is just like, well, he lives with his mother and cuts a knife with a cut cuts a cuts a birthday cake with a butcher knife.
Anybody that cuts a birthday cake with a butcher
Butcher
knife
knife.
interests me.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. It was like,
Okay,
okay. So
Mannix.
they find out that Cynthia's wants to get it, the guy who wanted to get his dick wet in the limo, is staying at the penthouse, and he goes to interview him, and there's another scene. Finds his name is Barrett Moyer. Finds Barrett Moyer. Okay, slumped over a coffee table with his hands tied behind his back and several cigarette burns all up and down his ass. And this information, once again, is nothing more than a red herring. Because you get the idea that one of the reasons that Edward hates everybody with the, like we'll find out later why, but like one of the reasons he hates everybody is because these are rich people living under a facade of perfection that underneath are disgusting, prostituting themselves, into some kinky.com shit, you know?
Yeah.
And so for him, he's kind of like, this is uncivilized, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, and Alex just asks the dude with all the cigarette burns on his butt, says, "Hey, like, who did this to you?" And he's like, "Oh, some dude met him at the Porto Palace on Broadway." And you're like, "Okay, you know, lot of like red herrings, but also a lot of like weird plot points that
It's
don't
like
really
weird
go
twists and
anywhere."
turns. Yeah, exactly. It feels like several episodes of a TV series, like put together as a movie almost. That's what
You
it
know
feels
what?
like.
That's fantastic that you said that, because that makes all the sense in the world. Yes, it does. It's like a bunch of SVU episodes.
Yeah, it's like a three-part TV show put into one movie, but like with some stuff cut out. Because even with that, with Jack, the first kind of cop person we meet, it's almost like there's pre-existing, like it's almost like we should have met him already.
I know. And we don't know. We learned very little in that
Literally don't know him.
conversation.
Yeah, we literally do not know him, and everything about their relationship is like very much implied, but it's not outright said. Because I read something about how they were married or something, like he was married to Cynthia, but I didn't really get that from their exchange. To me, it seemed like kind of like
I thought it Yeah,
he
I
was
thought it was
like,
a prostitute John
well, yeah,
situation.
like he was a frequent John, and kind of they had a, sugar daddy baby sort of relationship, and once he couldn't provide her with that. I mean, so yeah, I
That's
don't
what I
really
got.
know
No, I definitely
exactly.
did not get the "we were married once" conversation, especially because there's a little bit of an age difference there.
I know. Yeah. Oh yeah, there's quite a few age differences in this
Oh
movie.
my. So our K Corps decides to call Vincent again. Wants to wa wants her wants him to come and read her poetry, and I love that he hangs up on her mid-sentence.
Probably calls him every night. I mean, you would get
Think
tired of
so.
that too.
Yes, I absolutely think that that's a thing.
Do
And
you think
then
that she's a shut-in? Because I get the sense that she's kind of a shut-in.
I think that she's a shut-in, but I also feel as though, now this is conjecture at this point, but I feel as though her love of the arts and her, you know, being into poetry, being into theater, being into watching Swan Lake on PBS, that she probably has some kind of a cultured background, and therefore she gravitates towards Vincent because Vincent is very cultured,
Yeah.
and she probably is a widower. Or widow, not
Widow, yeah.
widower. Right, yeah, she's a widow. And maybe her husband used to do that with her.
Yeah, that
So
could be
she's
for
just
sure.
really lonely, and rich, because I think everybody who lives in that complex is, you know, of a certain amount of 80s wealth.
Certain persuasion,
A certain
yes.
persuasion, because it's not like super ritzy, but it's ritzy for the 80s.
It's in downtown, like
Yeah, that's all right. So K Kor gets stabbed. She and she see this. There's two things that I still to this day get very about checking out at night. One is under my bed, and one is inside my closet. And it's thanks to this movie, because she puts her leg down, and the killer comes out and slices her leg, and then basically stabs her to death. So now she is also dead. So we are to gather, at least in Alex's eyes, that everyone who talks to Vincent somehow ends up dead. Women,
Yeah.
the women that interact with Vincent somehow end up dead. Then we meet the lovely Ann Archer, who is masquerading as a homeless woman with a fake nose. And you know, she's like, she kind of says, she kind of makes a reference to the fact that Vincent went into a bar, asked for a drink, that I asked Slink, because he's a former chef. I said, "What is that?" And he goes, "I don't know." And no, I did not take the time to look up this drink. So, but we know that in the blue collar, ultra heterosexual dive bar that he has gone into. That drink is not okay.
Yeah, what is he walking in order?
It's God, it's like a wine, but then it had another name attached to it. Almost, if I had to hazard a guess, having a bartending license that I do, I would say it's something akin to a white wine spritzer.
Okay.
It's like something that has like wine, but then something else in it, right?
Okay.
And it would be something that would set him apart,
Oh yeah, because
especially.
there's these guys in there and they're just like, yeah, we're from New York and we just talk it in here.
Yeah, they all literally look like they're on like a that they're right off a naval ship, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
just ready. Ready for Fleet Week, they are.
Yeah.
So they track the kinky dude from that burned the guy with cigarettes once.
He's the driver of the guy.
So he's okay, so oh wow, did not know this. Okay, so the driver of the limo is also the guy who fucked him and burned him with cigarettes,
Yeah.
and they all hang out at the Porno Palace. Got it. Yeah, there's a lot of there's almost a lot of there's almost some 52 pickup here.
When you get introduced to people, like with you're just talking about Ann Archer, you don't see her, like she's not introduced at first. She's just kind of trailing Vincent to this dive bar, and you see her in the periphery. And same with the scene, we're talking about the driver, and at the beginning of the movie when Cynthia and the sleazy guy are introduced. The driver's there, and he doesn't really have a word of dialogue. He's just kind of there. And there's a couple shots of him where it almost frames him like he's looking in the window, and he's somebody of interest.
I did not know. I did not notice that. The problem with this film, one of many, but one of the problems I think is that there's just a lot of dudes that look alike.
Yeah.
Like a lot of guys have the same hairstyle, have the same hair color. Like there's no real stark contrast. Like it's not like this guy's Robert Redford and this
I
guy's Dustin
know.
Hoffman. Like, no, it's
Yeah,
very.
they're all kind of Italian looking brunette guys, basically. Yeah.
So we get this porno theater chase.
You have to talk about the informant that's like.
I love this too. This gentleman also deserves his own movie. I don't even think he has has a name, but he
No.
is standing on the street corner, handing out flyers to get into these, adult establishment. But in between handing out flyers and basically doing the barker, like doing the barking, he is also giving Alex little hints of what he's looking for.
Yeah. He's
And I
like
wish
sitting
I
in the
could
car.
remember it.
He's like sitting in the car just off screen, and he's like, how long has he been in here? And he's like, show started half hour ago,
It's
it's
so,
so
yeah,
good.
it's really,
And
it has to be seen to be believed. Clearly, I could not memorize that dialogue,
then
but.
Wyman walks out, the person of interest walks out of the theater, and he's like, and what does he say? Action's out on the street or something, and he opens the car door for Alex, and Alex gets out, and he's like, Lyman, you're under arrest.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then he takes off running. Then Ann Archer pulls a gun on him, and Alex is like, "Good for you." And then she gets kicked in the face.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Night School, where they, were trying to track that poor bastard to his apartment, where he had all the porno stuff on the walls, but he was just kind of like a sort of slightly slow porn freak,
Yeah, he's just a lurker. 'Cause he like watches people in their houses or something, right? Yeah. I never
So
thought about it. That movie is kind of similar to this one.
very yes very 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 similar. Now we get one of my favorite scenes, which is the model party.
Oh my God.
So Carrie Nye is this woman who has to be seen to be believed. She looks like someone who unapologetically had a lot of plastic surgery at one point, but very under the radar. And she was married to Dick Cavett from like 1964 until she died. So they were this weird sort of, Mel Brooks and Bancroft kind of couple. And then she's done so many movies, but one of the ones that the audience will know her from is she's the older woman in Creepshow, who she's not the, Delia, get me my cake. She's was she like an aunt or something?
Yeah. She's the one that her head is on the cake,
On the
right?
cake, yes. Her head ends up on the cake, yes. But I don't know what the relation is to her and that weird family. But
I can't remember. It's something like
anyway,
that. She is like the aunt, yeah.
yeah, head on cake. That's her. So she is kind of acting like a model pimp. Like
Yes. That's the best way to describe
she has
it.
this, she's having this crazy party. She walks back to where all these models are and they're getting ready. She fat shames them. Very good. She's like, well, that dress shows everything, so you're not going to wear it. And you kind of get the idea that it's like a secret escort service.
Yeah, it's like fashion. It's like she's selling the clothes, but really she's selling the girls. It's
Yes, thank you. Oh, see, couldn't have, that
interesting.
perfect, Ray.
When
Perfect.
she talks about it like that, she's like, yes, there's a lot of buyers out there, blah, blah, blah. And then, and you get the sense that she's talking, like, she's like, this is her in the gown. And then she's like, have a closer look at her. And then they're looking at the woman, not the dress.
Right, because these women put the dresses on and they come out to this basic cast of men who have the body style of, they own the yacht, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
Humpty Dumpty.
and we meet Sidney Bloom, that's our overweight white guy,
Yeah. And we've
who
seen him a few times throughout the movie too, because he lives in the
he
high
lives
rise
in
building.
the high-rise building, and I did not know that he is the same guy who had the doggy.
Yeah.
I thought there were two overweight white men living in this house.
Oh,
One of which has a Shih Tzu, the other one does not.
They're twins.
I got so confused. But yes, that is in fact the fat bald man that we see at the beginning of the movie with the dog is in fact Sydney. And Sydney, goes up to Nadine and says, I need to see you. I need to see you. And she's like, all right, like I'll come by tonight, whatever. And
Bye-bye.
Nadine, played by Karen Rushmore, has, I have to say this, the most perfect body of a woman I have ever seen in my entire life. She has legs that look like they were insured by Lloyd's of London. She clearly works out because she's got abs. It's
She looks
crazy. Her
great.
breasts do not move. She's got this like sort of really bouncy red hair, but she doesn't have the redhead skin. Like she doesn't have the
Yeah. Oh,
freckles. She has a tan. She
it's a dye
looks
for sure.
like she had like a polished shoe, like she.
He kind of reminds me of like Jane Fonda. Like
Oh,
she has
yes.
that sort of look to her.
Yes,
She's
absolutely.
very beautiful.
Just absolutely gorgeous. So Sydney decides to gives Vincent a key and says, when Nadine gets here, give her the key. And then she shows up and gives her the key, says, make yourself at home. She says, tell Sydney I'll be in the sauna. And then we are treated to a nude sauna session that goes on for a really long time. And she starts to oil herself in the sauna. And so here's the thing. I've never been in a sauna, so I don't know what the oil is about. I would assume it's just very like male gazey.
Yeah, I don't think that's proper sauna protocol. You know what I mean? I just don't think.
I'm like, okay, she's not in a tanning bed.
No,
Like
she's supposed to be like sweating. Like that's like a health thing, but here she is oil
But
literally
she's
oiling her
pouring oil
tits.
all over herself and rubbing herself down. I was
And
like,
moaning.
and moaning.
I was watching the movie with a friend last night and like on my laptop and had my headset on and I could hear every little nuance of that movie and she's just like, ooh. I'm like, okay, Nadine.
So she gets in the giant jacuzzi. This thing is fucking huge.
It is.
And fat bastard sneaks up behind her and scares her, of course. And then she tosses him into the water
Somehow pulls him in.
and somehow This towel is defying logic.
Thank God, right?
Because it is, I mean, it had to have been glued on to him.
He had a no nudity clause.
No.
Thank God.
Thank God for
Okay.
us, really. He goes into the water with the towel on. He gets out of the water, and there's not a situation where gravity just takes the towel down. The towel stays on. Thank you. And, he says, "Hey, go upstairs, get ready." She goes up there and she goes through his closet, and he has sex costumes.
Wrote in my notes, Sydney's sex clothes closet.
And she's like, "Ooh, who should I be tonight? Cop or
Judge.
slave?"
Yeah. Judge, slave.
Judge, slave. And then she opens the door and Sydney's body falls on her. So Sydney has been killed. So that was a question, because the logic behind why this is happening is because a certain someone's attention is being diverted from this person, and they don't like that, and they definitely don't like women, and they don't want the women having the attention. So I guess my question is, why kill Sydney? And I'm wondering if it's because Sydney is also just part of people that take the attention away.
Could be that. And also you're talking about how this person has some feelings about the underbelly of disgusting goings
Right.
on in
Okay.
this. And Sydney's
Yes.
definitely a part of that. I mean, he's
Yes.
literally bringing hookers into the home.
Exactly. So you're
So
right. You're right. He's the epitome of the rich guy who gets away with murder.
exactly.
Right.
And
Okay.
he looks unassuming. You
Yeah.
know, he has this little dog and he's just walking around in his little tracksuit in the middle of the night and watching hookers get out of their limousine and
Yeah.
looking up their dress. But you
Exactly.
know, well, I was going to say there's a scene when Nadine's coming when she sees Vincent and they sort of have an exchange and he recites his favorite, you know, Shakespeare quotes
And then she kisses him,
and
and
she kisses him.
he is just he looks like he got stung by a bee.
Yeah. You
He's
really
just
know how to turn a girl's head. I mean,
right.
it's great.
And he's like, "Huh?"
Right.
She's like, "I'm sorry, I
I
don't
also I
compute."
love her nails. She has these gorgeous giant red nails. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. I gotta mention it.
No.
Nadine, we love
Yes.
you. Karen
Na
Rushmore, we
Karen
love you.
Rushmore, you only did like four other movies, and I would love to find all of them because I really think you're awesome. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, she was fucking great in that. So she hides in the elevator because obviously Sydney's body's fallen down, she's being menaced. She runs to the elevator, she hides in there, and then the elevator, goes, and apparently it's Halloween.
Suddenly, but at least it's corroborated by the October 1982 calendar. So,
See, you see, this is why I have you on the show,
there's no
because you
mention of
notice shit like that. I would not have noticed that. I'm like, October of 82. When did we? Yeah. But
Yeah.
yes, because there's a bunch of kids and they're dressed up, and then there's like a freak show
Trick
dude. He's dressed up.
Well,
A.
and you know who the freak show dude is, right?
No.
It's our killer.
Is that Edward?
It's yeah.
Oh, fuck me. Sorry, sorry guys. Spoiler alert.
Well,
You were gonna find out sooner or later. And if
yeah.
you haven't already listened to the show, then you know. Really? Oh, I thought that was just a random dude.
No.
Oh, God. Okay. Nope. Nope. Because a sexy model gets on and she says to that person in the costume, she says, "Aren't you a little old for trick or treat?"
What does he go like, oh, or
Yeah,
something? He like
yeah. He,
kicks on
it
her.
was it was an interesting acting choice that he made there. And
We'll see, and that makes sense because, well, we'll find out later.
yeah.
Yes.
So she gets on the elevator and then Nadine's body falls out. She's been sliced to shreds and the body falls out of the ceiling, and that's amazing. And then we cut to, unfortunately, a budding romance between Alex and Ann Archer. What is Ann Archer's name?
Her name is Kate.
Okay, never would have. Nope, couldn't have. Nope. Okay,
Calls me
so
Ann Archer. That's
yeah.
fine.
So Alex and Kate are flirting, trying to flirt or whatever. And then it kind of seems like he's buttering her up To be like, okay, so I have an idea. You're hot. I want you to masquerade as Cynthia's sister,
Cousin.
cousin, whatever. And you're gonna move into the, the complex, the Royal Arms.
Yes.
You're gonna move into the Royal Arms, and you are going to, basically, you're gonna seduce Vincent because at this point, Alex is thoroughly convinced that Vincent is the killer. Yeah. So she does. She moves in. She's, trying to kind of get his attention and talk to him. And, I'm sure she's probably endeared to the fact that Vincent can talk to women.
With her introduction, he sees her on the elevator and he gives her flowers.
Yeah,
And he says, "I'm so sorry for the loss of your cousin."
right. Welcome to the Royal Arms. Yeah. So Jack and not Jack decide to, or no, Alex and not Alex decide to do some recon at Vincent's house. Okay. So at this point, Vincent has taken his mom out to the park and Ann Archer's distracting them. And Alex and Leon
Frank.
Isaac Kennedy. Oh, is it Frank?
Frank.
Okay. You're so good. So Alex and Frank are back at that awesome mansion looking at stuff, and they find out a couple of things. They find out that Vincent likes to wear makeup, which, oh, heaven forbid.
Yeah.
Vincent likes to wear makeup, and there were two members of the Cumberland Theater Group who were involved in a car accident, and that one of them survived and the other one was maimed, basically. So, and that was Vincent and his mother. Okay, so throw that aside because it'll come back later. Next, we get baby John Hurd as a medical examiner. And he basically says, yeah, he goes, I found makeup on the bodies. And they were like, all right, well, that could have been this. And he's like, no, it's theatrical makeup. Very specific.
I know, yeah.
And so immediately, Alex is like, well, clearly it's Vincent. It's absolutely Vincent. So we are then treated to some shoulder dancing. Shoulder dancing in a purple leg warmer Jane Fonda workout
I mean, we're in that era, yeah.
outfit.
That's how you
Absolutely.
know we're in the early 80s because that was
Yes.
the workout craze.
100%. 100%. So the killer kills the lights, the phone. She knows that the killer's there, so she traps the killer. Is that mic on the? Oh, okay. So then she goes downstairs at one point to where they are normally doing their surveillance, and there's a body on the other side of the door. Who the fuck is that?
There's Frank, and then there's this older white guy that's her, the another cop that's there with
Okay.
them.
Okay.
So they have a room, and I believe it's actually upstairs.
Okay.
They're upstairs in a room, and they have like a mic into the Cynthia's apartment where she's staying.
Okay.
And yeah, so do you remember the scene when she first moves in and she's like downstairs
In the
in
laundromat?
the laundry, and the guy scares her? That's him.
Oh, I thought the guy who scared her. Oh, fuck me. I thought the guy that scared her was Alex. See, like I said, too many white men, nondescript. Too many middle-aged white men in this movie.
Yeah, so that's his body on the door.
Okay, so that's his body on the door. Okay. So then she I like this I like this usage of tools. She takes the phone receiver and wraps the cord around it, and of course Vincent scares her at one point and she clobbers him in the face.
Yeah.
So then Vincent decides to go home. When he goes home, he tells his mom, he's like, "We gotta go. We have to leave. We have to leave. We have to leave." And so, okay, I'm asking you, as somebody who is part of the queer community,
Don't assume. I'm just kidding.
so my question is, when he was like, "Oh, we gotta go. We gotta go," is it because he feels that he's been found out in that scene, or like he's like, oh shit, they know? Because One of the things about Vincent is he takes these painstaking steps to conceal him. You know, that the theater makeup, I'm like when he goes to the bar and he's like, I'll kick everybody's ass in this room. He never says that, by the way, but he has that attitude of, oh, well, I too will,
I too will fight.
yeah, right. Which is, he's trying to, he's trying to, because he ordered a what these gentlemen feel is a girly drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never really thought about it until I watched it last night. But yeah, he's putting his makeup on in his little costume and he's going to work and he's putting on a part. He's playing a role.
He's playing a role. Yeah. So that's why I was wondering. I was like, I kind of felt like when he came home and he said, mother, mother, we have to go, that it was that he was found out.
It could be that, and also the fact that he's, the prime suspect in this murder case, and he's
Okay.
like, we've got to get the hell out of here. But it could be like a double thing.
Yeah, because I think the core theme of this movie, right? Let's watch Aaron get pseudo intellectual. The core theme of this movie is masks. It's
And
the
that's why there's one on the cover. Oh my God, Aaron.
right. I know. I was like, oh my God, I'm so smart. Like,
Happy film school, bitch.
what? Yeah, no. But
Yes.
I was thinking about that. It is this, like, some people wear the mask of riches, that masks them being just absolute fucking sleaze bags.
Oh my God, you're really peeling the layers off of this movie.
And then
Okay.
Vincent wears the mask of essentially heterosexuality, right? Of like, oh
Yeah.
no, I'm not like that, right? Whereas, and then let's see. And then I don't know what Alex does, because I don't care. But
I know he's not unlikable, but there are a lot of scenes where he says something really kind of shitty, and then Ann Archer's like, actually, and I just love that. I
She's
love
a
that.
great character. Like obviously she's crazier than a shithouse rat in real life, but
Well.
her character in this film is very like take charge, no nonsense. I can take care of myself. I can handle the situation. She's not meek.
No. No. She's a very like nice, well-rounded kind of character that I feel like of all the characters in the movie, you're sort of rooting for her to like figure out what's going on.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm also not rooting for her and Alex.
No, I think that's so
No.
shoehorned in. I wish they had like
Ugh.
just a why can't movies just have like a nice platonic
Platonic
relationship?
situation, right? Like, why does it have to be like, oh,
A
well.
romance.
Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
I
So,
don't
I
know.
don't know. It wasn't,
With this like 30-year-old woman and this like 60-year-old man,
six-year-old dude.
it's a
Yeah.
lot.
It is a
Yeah.
lot. So Vincent's packing. He basically doesn't even know what he's packing at this point. Like, there's a coat in there, some books,
He's just throwing everything in
he's
there.
just throwing stuff in that suitcase. And then somebody rolls up in a wheelchair wearing a long gray silk dress. And then we cut, and the cops show up. They're kind of gonna go inside and get Vincent, basically. And then all of a sudden, Vincent's body drops. And he's been stabbed in the back, I think, right?
Yeah.
He's been stabbed in the back. Alex then gets stabbed. The wheelchair, I love this. The wheelchair goes flying and hits Ann Archer. She tumbles down the stairs,
Yeah.
which is amazing. And then we get the big reveal, which is, oh, well, also, we also find out that mom is dead. That Vincent's mom was also
Yeah.
stabbed to death and then stored in some
In
sort
like the
of
dumb waiter.
the dumb waiter. Yeah. So big reveal. Edward pops up. He is in drag. It has been Edward this entire time. And he then begins to give us our exposition, which is that they all acted in a theater troupe in England. He was with Vincent as they were romantic partners. Mother tried to break them up. Vincent was guilt-ridden. Vincent tried to kill himself in the car, and I'm assuming his mother also.
Yeah.
But didn't work, just left mom paralyzed. Edward stalked him for 4 years until he found him working as a bellman at the Royal Arms. Edward gets a job at the Royal Arms, professes his love to him, and Vincent's like, not gonna happen. Edward then decides that he is going to free Vincent's life of all the women and of all the anything that diverts his attention, basically. And then I'm sure Edward feels like a queer character who is would be totally fine if Vincent came out of the closet. Like he would be like, no, we're going to Haight-Ashbury. We're gonna lead the parade ourselves. Like he very much has that I'm proud of who I am. I just wish that Vincent was proud of who he was, because then once he professes his love, Vincent's like, absolutely not. Because Vincent has perfected this mask. He has perfected this heterosexual facade and does not want to be, queer.
Openly queer. Yeah.
No, he doesn't want to be openly queer.
He's fine just taking care of his mother.
He just wants to take care of his mother, and be a quote confirmed bachelor.
Yeah.
He wants to do that. And Edward wants to be with him, and he doesn't want to be with Edward. So then that creates this psychotic break where then Edward is mad because I think on a lot of levels, he probably envies a lot of the people in the building because they get away with what they want. They do what they want. There are no rules for them. They can play one way and then do shit behind the back, which is not. So I think there's also this parallel between how he feels Vincent plays one way when he's, what do you call it? Suppressing his own desires to be a certain way, right? So, yeah, and then everybody dies. No. No. Somebody kills Edward. Did they shoot him? What
It's
happened?
Alex like comes and saves the day when
Right.
Ann Archer's cornered,
Right.
basically, after
Heaven.
Edward's done giving his monologue.
Yes. Heaven forbid Ann Archer could just save herself, right?
I
But
know.
meh, meh. So that happens. And then credits.
And then Phyllis Hyman sings, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. All of those things. So, I love this movie. I really do. I love this movie. You can currently watch it if you have an MGM subscription. Who the fuck has that? But apparently that's a thing, right?
People do. I don't
Or
know.
you can purchase this Blu-ray via, did you say Scorpion?
Well, is Scorpion still a company? Because, like, I don't know, honey.
Fact
I didn't do
checker,
my
yeah.
research for
I was going to
that.
say, fact checker Frankie, if you are listening to Jello Shots today, can you please look up the information and see if Scorpion is still releasing DVDs or Blu-rays? Other than that, I would say try to find this movie. It's a fun little Jello throwback. It like I said, it looks like a TV movie. It has the sleaze factor of the original Angel.
Yes.
And but then it's got a little bit of slasher gore for the people that like it. And it's endearing. And then
Yeah.
and
And then there's some great
performances.
performances. Exactly.
Performances. Yeah.
There's a character actor in like every scene chewing, all the scenery. Like Carrie Nye's scene is amazing.
She's I
She's
love
in
her.
one scene and she's just like, oh
Which
yeah.
she does that in Creepshow and she does that in Hello Again. So
It was her one shtick and she did it well. Do you blame her? I mean,
she
come
did.
on.
She did. She totally, she absolutely pulled it off. So, yes, try to find this movie. Anyway, this is our sister podcast, Jello Shots, which will be airing once a month, in addition to our Manic Movie Monday. Ray. The amazing Ray the Unusual, Ray the Fabulous, Ray the Fantastic. Where can people find you and what are you currently working on?
You can find me at Ray the Unusual on just about any platform. Currently, I am working with 1980s singer Regina. We just re-released her song Baby Love. Well, actually, we re-recorded her song Baby Love.
So cool.
And so I'm going to announce something here exclusive for you. And I don't
Oh,
know when
that's
this will
ex
air, but
Yeah. January. This will air in January. So
okay.
this month.
Okay. So we're trying to get a remix of Baby Love out for Valentine's Day. So
Ooh. Okay.
take a look out for that, you know. But yeah.
Very, very cool. Ray and our mutual friend Violet have been instrumental in resurrecting a lot of music and a lot of musicians who would otherwise go unnoticed. So they are doing God's work as far as in the music world. They are making it so that these things are available to a new audience. They are introducing them to a new generation, and they're fabulous. That's one of the reasons I absolutely love you, and I love having you on the show.
Well, thank you. You know, and it's another thing about this movie too, is there's a really great song that at the opening credits, it's sung by what is it, Charles, he's French and
Yeah.
whatever. But
Yeah.
anyway, so the end song is like the same song, but it's like a more modern for 1982
Yep.
interpretation of it. And
Yep.
it's sung by Phyllis Hyman, who also has a cameo in the movie as one of the models.
Okay, yeah, no. See, I knew when I was listening to the music, I knew I was like, Ray's gonna know something about this.
Of course. I mean, it's my sphere. But so I love the song that she recorded for this movie, and it's of course never released. She tragically took her life in 1995.
Oh my
The
God.
producer of the song is no longer with us. The writers of the song, I think they died of AIDS and one was old. And I mean, everybody
Oh.
associated with that recording is no longer with us. So I don't know where anybody could ever get a copy of it. I don't know where a copy exists. So this is the kind of thing that I care about and, you know, really push for. And I do follow her social media and stuff. She has somebody that runs, you know, pages for her, and which is wonderful and instrumental in keeping alive her legacy. But yeah, even they are kind of unsure about where the masters. So these are the kinds of things that I deal with all the time. And watching a movie like this and hearing a song we're like obsessed with the song. And it's like, well, you can't hear it only via this, you know, kind of whatever recording on this movie. So yeah, that's just one of the things. And those incidental kind of songs, I'm sorry, Aaron, those incidental songs that are kind of in the background through the movie, I don't know what those are, if they're source music or what, but these are the kinds of things that keep me up at night.
No, but first of all, never apologize for your awesomeness because
Oh,
you
God.
are so fantastic. And you know, I have seen movies where I've absolutely loved the soundtrack and I've had to buy it on vinyl because it doesn't exist anywhere else. So the fact that you and Violet collectively are doing this service, and you're not getting paid to do this service, you're just doing
No.
it. You're doing it, you know, because of your passion, and you're doing it because you believe that history needs to be preserved. And I love that. I absolutely love that. I salute that. I think that's fantastic. There's a lot more people out there who need this service, who need to be introduced to this music, who need to be exposed to this than, you know, I think we can give the world credit for.
You know, thank you. And I think it is important to preserve things. I think, you know, there's going to be somebody down the road that's going to be interested in it one day too. And it'll be nice if they don't have as hard of a time trying to find the thing as I did or as you did or whatever. So, I mean, just look at this movie. It took 40 years for it to come out again. And it's finding people, because I do see things about it sometimes and it's like, oh, good. I'm glad people are enjoying this like weird little movie.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on Jello Shots. I really appreciate you giving me your time this morning. I
Honey,
really
I always love
appreciate
being here with you.
it.
You're amazing.
All right, so I don't have a sign off for Jello Shots, so nope, got nothing. So I will come up with one in the future. So I will go to my old standby, which is stay manic.